All right. Good morning. So, got to high five two people and tell them your favorite sports team. Maybe you don't do sports. Just pick one. Even if it's the Mario Kart team. By the way, obviously mine's the Florida State Seminoles and the Seattle Seahawks, so I don't have a dog in the fight this year. Although we did start praying for them, if you know from Thursday night. All right, so fist bump somebody else. Fist bump somebody else and tell them who you got in the Super Bowl. The Patriots or the Rams. I know I said Super Bowl. I'm supposed to say big game, so forgive me for that. If the commissioner's watching from the NFL. That being said, all right, so you got to know that. So today is a special message. I hear the Patriots, All-American. I hear the Rams. I hear the referees. I hear the Maroon 5 halftime show, apparently, is what I hear. The commercials, okay. So the advertisers, team advertisers. Awesome. Well, hey, so today I just wanted to talk about that. If you've got your Bible, we're going to be in Matthew 5. Each and every week, our awesome team, we do some things on the Bible app. We want to make it as easy as possible for you to listen to Jesus and do what he says, but also let you know we do have free Bibles for the asking. If you just let us know, we'd love to give you one. So if you like to do things digitally, though, or you're watching online in the middle of the week, we do our events every week on the Bible app. So I'm going to show you how to get there. Once again, this is somebody's first time listening to this, so if you hear it every week, understand that. So I'm going to show you how to get there. So download the Bible app from your favorite app store. Open it up, click on the More tab, then you're going to click on Events. Once you click on Events, make sure your location services are on. Then you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience. It's going to show the series logo. It's going to show contact information. We just want to make sure that we can get our information to you because we want you to know that you weren't made to do life alone, and whatever season you're in, we want to walk with you through that step by step so you have ways to follow us, but also a way that you can follow with us along in Scripture. Take your own personal notes and find out some information about the Vine Church. So if you want to go ahead and get there, we're going to be in Matthew 5, and I'm going to set this up. It's going to take us a minute to get to Matthew 5, but we're going to get there. As I was getting ready for this week, obviously this is kind of a different Sunday. It's a big game Sunday. This is when they say most people don't come to church because they're getting ready for the big game, right? So it is what it is. So that being said, most people don't, so we always like to have a fun day. So as I was getting ready for this week, I just started thinking about this and this special message as we go into this series called The Vow. And first and foremost, I want to say thank you to everybody who's here each and every week. There are people here before the sun comes up, setting up everything, tearing it down. Obviously, the sun's up when we tear it down, so I want to be clear with that. But everyone's here each and every week and works throughout the week to get this happening, and it's a team effort, and I'm thankful for that. And I started thinking about that, and as your pastor, I want to be able that I know that I shepherd you well. So I started thinking this. Have you ever just feel like you're doing a lot of things, but you just missed the point? Kind of like this. So when I was growing up, my cousin got a mountain bike for Christmas, okay? So I had always had like a normal bike, you know, just little huffy, little BMX bike, if you know, like it is what it is. And so it only had one gear. It only had one speed as fast as I could pedal. That was it. And most of the time, if I could fall over the front of the handlebars, I was a cool guy. So like I had that. That was the kind of bike I had. But my cousin got a mountain bike for Christmas. And I remember going to his house, and he was riding his mountain bike, and I couldn't figure out why he was going up the hill so easy, and I was pedaling just as fast as I could, and I was barely going anywhere, and like it was so hard to go up that hill, and like he's just doing it with ease up and down, and he's yelling at me, "Switch gears, you just got to switch gears," and I'm like, "What's a gear? Like I don't have a gear in a bike, what are you talking about?" But sometimes doesn't our life feel like that? Like we're on that mountain bike and we're working hard trying to get somewhere, but we might miss the point. Like sometimes we just got to switch gears in our life. And as I was getting ready for this, that's what I was thinking about this message is I was like, man, a lot of times we have the mountain bike experience. Like there are some teams that are going to play in this big game this afternoon. Some people will say it's just important to get to the big game. But if I'm getting there, I want to win it because I didn't practice all that time if I'm those players. And I didn't put all this effort, I didn't put all this energy in to not win the game. So just to get there is missing the point. To win it is the point. Just like riding that bicycle, we got to switch gears. And I started thinking, how many of us in our Christian life are riding that mountain bike right now? You know what? We're memorizing all the Bible verses. We're giving like crazy. We're showing up when church is open. We're trying to consume all of this knowledge. But it's not about knowledge. We're missing the point. And so today, that's what I want to share with you. I want to encourage you as your pastor to say, I wouldn't be serving you well if I didn't help you know the point of why we do what we do and why we're even here as Christians. Because I remember how frustrating that mountain bike experience was. And sometimes I even find myself on that, even now, following Jesus. So today, I want to give you some encouragement, and I want to challenge you as we have this big game Sunday. So let's pick up in Matthew 5, verse 13, and it says this. Got heavy in the room. It is what it is. It's kind of like there was a missed call or something, you know, like a pass interference. If you know, you know. So, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It's a good way to start a message, right? Here's what I want to get to you about the point. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Today, I just want to tell you simply, if you're trying to see the point of Christianity, is this. Your job is to just shine. Jesus said, let your light shine. Will you just shine? So, like, so many people know that I love Florida State. So many people know that I'm a Seahawks fan. So people know all of these things. And hey, you even know that I love the Vine Church. As I'm breaking stages, it is what it is. Know that I love the Vine Church. Know that I love the people of the Vine Church. But my job isn't to promote one church. My job isn't to promote one team. My job isn't to promote the other. It's to just shine the light of Jesus to everyone I come in contact with. And so today, maybe that's what you're doing, is the gear that you need to switch, is you're trying to do so much work that you're missing out on. The point is just to shine. Because here's the thing. It's not about all this stuff. This stuff's awesome. It's really cool. People, we have a lot of cool stuff here. We do a lot of good things. But the stuff that we have that the world is searching for is not this microphone. It's not cool equipment. It's literally the hope of the gospel. And the only way we bring it to the world is if we shine and if the world knows that we have it. As a matter of fact, I've heard people and pastors talk to me a lot of times. They'll say, hey, what kind of new ground are you taking? And they get taken back because I say, I don't need to take any new ground. Jesus has already claimed it all. When he died on the cross, he said it is finished. All the ground is his. He'll give to me as he sees fit. I just have to be obedient to what he's called me to do. And the way that I do that is how I shine. So today I just want to ask you, how are you shining? Is your light bright? Because sometimes I can tell you I hide mine under a bushel. No. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If you know, you know. That's old school. We'll bring it back. So here's the thing that I want to tell you, and I just want to be as real as I can be as your pastors. We talk about, hey, how do we shine? There are people outside these four walls dying, doomed to hell because they don't have the hope of the gospel, and they're searching for it everywhere possible. They're going to search for it in a football game today. They're going to search for it in a food they eat today. They're going to search for it in a career on Monday morning. They're going to search for it in a relationship and put all the weight of someone else being their savior, someone thing, created thing being their savior instead of the hope of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if we just shine the hope of Jesus to the world, oh, the stories we'll get to be a part of, oh, the difference we'll make, and oh, the times when we're on the mountain bike, we can just say, hey, just switch gears. It's not about all that work. Just switch gears. Just shine. So today, I just want to encourage you today to think that maybe you're trying to do a lot of check boxes. Maybe you've got a list of things you're saying you want to do to be a better Christian. That's awesome. Jesus is just calling you to shine. And the only way you can shine is if you're in his presence all the time. So what I want to remind you with today is I just want to tell it to you this way. Because we're called to reach a dying world, the reason we do everything we do is to bring the hope of Jesus to the world. Because somebody went before us and brought it to us, didn't they? Somebody told us about Jesus. If we have a relationship with him, someone did. And so today, I want you to know, and I want you to have freedom in this statement. Who you are is not defined by what you do, but who Jesus is to you. That's a sentence full and a mouthful. Who you are is not defined by what you do, but by who Jesus is to you. Who you are is not defined by what you do, but who Jesus is to you. Who is Jesus to you? If he's your Lord and Savior, and he's your hope, I'm not talking about doing crazy things on a street corner unless God's called you to do that. That's awesome. Do your friends know who Jesus is to you? I'm not telling you got to go convert them. I'm just saying this is how your friends will know, and this is how you'll shine being Jesus to others. It's not sharing the plan of salvation every chance you get. It's just loving God and loving others. It's loving them right where they are. If you really want to shine, love people right where they are, because it's not what you do, It's who Jesus is to you. In other words, a lot of times we equate because someone's a pastor that they're more holier than thou. And I will tell you, as Paul said, I'm the chief sinner of them all. I don't deserve to be up here. I've done nothing to deserve to get to do what I do. But by God's grace, I get to. Because I just refuse to not shine. I refuse to not make a difference. I refuse to say that, well, we've done the best we could do, and this world is just doomed to hell, and that is what it is. Because I can't stand when people say that. Because Jesus didn't come to die on a bloodstained cross for the world to go to hell. He died so that we could have salvation and we could have hope. So who is Jesus to you? How do you shine? Because here's what I know in our life is so many times when we have titles and all these little things with periods behind a comma that make us feel that we're great. Like for me, I have a PhD in DUMB. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like that's where I'm at so many times in my life. Like that's my title. That's my accolade. I'm so hard-headed. But I started thinking, why do I get stuck on that mountain bike in my walk with Jesus and I try to diminish that light I'm trying to shine? It's because I'm looking for external confirmation when I've got something internally that's already done that. Like my validation is not in what somebody says about me or who someone else says I am. My confirmation is in who Jesus says I am and who he created me to be. And how I shine the most is when I continue to be exactly who he created me to be. So I would ask you today, are you trying to search for external validation for those around you and the thing that you do and the title behind your name? Are you just trusting Jesus to be exactly who he created you to be? Because when I'm having him at the center of my life and I let him shine to the world, I'm not afraid what people say. As a matter of fact, it doesn't mean that I'm a jerk. It just means that I don't need their validation. Does it mean that I need to be a jerk? No, it doesn't. I'm supposed to love everyone. And I would hope that they would love me right where I'm at as I'm trying to figure out on this walk and this journey with Jesus. But I tell you what, so many times I think that I've missed the point because I've worried what everybody thought instead of realizing I had all I need in Jesus. All I had to do was shine. And I'm not talking about like my head because I got oily skin and, you know, that's how I roll. I'm saying like shine his light. So much so I got to hear it this week and it kind of made me break down a little bit because, you know, sometimes, you know, we get to go in and out every week, and we load in, we load out, and I'm so thankful for it. Like, I love it. I know this is what God's called me to. I know that these people he have here with me, this church, all of us are called here to be one body, and I know he's called us to reach people out in this world. And sometimes I can tell you, if we're completely honest, doesn't it get a little overwhelming? Like, it can get bogged down. You may think, man, I don't know if I'm making a difference today. And so this week I got a text that kind of blew me away as I was getting ready. It's no coincidence that God planned for it to be this week. I got to hear a story, or I got a text message from my sister Olivia last week in Vine Kids, which, by the way, our Vine Kids ministry is incredible. Kids get to learn about Jesus on their level. And I got to learn about Jesus on my level. I had a church that invested in the next generation. The only reason I met Jesus as a child is because I had a church that knew how to give me Jesus on my level in a safe, fun environment. So we have kids that are in there right now doing that. And this past week, they got invite cards to invite their friends to church. And it said, hey, like, I have fun at church. We play games. Come to church with me. I got a text message from my sister that said, hey, I just want you to know that Aiden told his friend he's got to come to church with him. Wouldn't leave him alone until he got that invite. And I started thinking, that's what childlike faith is. That's what not missing the point is. He had a tool in his hand to shine, and he refused not to give it to someone else to say, hey, what I have, I want you to have. Come be a part of this. But if I'm completely honest, don't we get stuck in that? It's so hard to do that sometimes, isn't it? Like, if I invite them to church, what are they going to think about me? See, childlike faith didn't matter. He had the tool in his hand, and he understood it wasn't by what he did or the title he had. He just had to say, this is who Jesus is to me. Come to church with me. So today, I just want to tell you right now where you are, I hope you understand that we can shine as Christians. The thing that we have that the world doesn't have is the light of Jesus. And speaking of that, you know, be a little controversial. I'm going to go ahead and lay it out here. Right now, there's an abortion debate going on in the world, right? We hear this across our country, all right? It is clear the stance of the church on abortion, but here's what I want to submit to you. Abortion isn't the problem. It's only a symptom of the problem. The problem in this world is sin, not abortion. And so many times we stand up and we tweet and we put out our comments and we rise up and we say, well, we're standing up for justice. And I want to tell you, church, where we have the opportunity to stand up against abortion is if we raise young girls to be Proverbs 31 women and we raise young boys to be men and warriors of the faith, abortion won't be an issue. Because we're attacking sin. It's just a symptom of the problem that we're dealing with. And that's by shining the light of Jesus to everyone we come in contact with. And so as I see all these things, hey, if God's called you to do that, that's awesome. Stand up, fight against it. But I want to tell you, Jesus also reminded us that if we have hate in our heart, we're just as much a murderer as that person is who's aborting that baby. It's sin. Sin is the problem, not abortion. The church knows, we know we stand against it. That's fine. The world knows that. What the world needs to know is that somebody's walking with them step by step, whatever season they're in and whatever they're doing. So my question is, church, will we rise up? Will we shine? I've seen us do it. But even in this moment in time, can we realize that Jesus has created us for such a time as this, a time where we get to love people right where they are, where the world says, well, I can't go to church because I can't do this, this, and this. The pastor is wearing a football jersey, y'all. Like, you don't have to worry about what you wear in this church. You don't even have to worry about the problems that you bring in. All we have to do is love people right where they are and say, hey, I understand you're going through something crazy. Come hang out with me on Sunday. Matter of fact, we have some great breakfast, I tell you right now. We eat like kings and queens in the morning. Come hang out with us. We also do it on Thursdays. So this week, the challenge I have as we go into this marriage series, and the reason I bring up abortion is that is a debate I guarantee you somebody's talking about where you work. Not a question. Will we shine the light of Jesus and say, hey, listen, I know that's what's going on, and I know this abortion is a big deal, but let me tell you about what the bigger problem is. I realized that in my life, it wasn't that, it was sin. I know it's crazy, but if you know somebody that's walked through that, I just want to tell you, I'm here to talk to you about it. I don't know everything you're walking through, and I can't imagine the pain you're walking through if you've ever had an abortion or you're considering it, but I can get you in contact with somebody who has and somebody who will. I can get you some great resources, and I want to walk with you step by step through this. And we just love them right where they are. Oh, my goodness. You see, what I love about our church and what I love about Vine Kids is we're raising girls to be Proverbs 31 women. As we get ready to kick off the spur at the end of the month, we're raising girls to be Proverbs 31 women, and we're raising young boys to be warriors and heroes of the faith, have their confidence in everything that God created them to be, not worry about what the world says. Put on the shield of faith every single day. Put on the full armor of God. We're teaching them to do that. What better thing can we give to the world? And what better way can we shine? Let's keep going. So that being said today, I just want to encourage you with that because here's the other thing I want to tell you. You are a walking revival. Notice I said walking revival. I'm getting old, so I don't run well. So a walking revival. You are a walking revival. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Each and every one of us are the light of the world, and our good deeds are to bring our Father glory. And so what I want to tell you today is you are an agent of change called by God to bring the gospel to the world. How do you do it? Love God, love others. I know we say it till we're blue in the face, but you know what? I need to hear it a lot because sometimes that's how I need to change gears on the mountain bike. I got to be reminded, love God. Hey, I got that. Hey, Tyler, love others. Crap. I got something to do. I got something to work on. I got something to work on. I got to love others. But then I remember I'm a walking revival. You know, so many times in my life I said, someday I'll figure it out. One day I'll figure it out. I'll know what God's going to use me for, and someday it'll work out. And you know what? Right now, I'm just a cashier. Right now, I'm just a manager. Right now, I'm just a realtor. Right now, I'm just. And I don't know where you are in your life. You may think that you're just something, and I want to move to you to say that you are literally a walking revival. You say, hey, I'm a front cashier. How can I change the world? I want you to know, I used to tell all of mine, you are the face of the company. If you're a front cashier, you're a front cashier revivalist. I'm going to tell you right now, you can make a difference. If you say, I'm only good with my hands, I can only fix cars, guess what? You're a car fixing evangelist. I want to tell you right now, if you say, I only answer the phone, what difference can I make in the world? You are a spokesperson of light. You can shine every day in what you do. Will you trust God that you're an agent of change? Will you trust that he's putting people in your path to do that? Because here's the thing that I would tell you. As I was getting ready for this, I thought about the month that we're in. I thought about the holiday we just celebrated in January. And the words of Dr. Martin Luther King rung so true. And I want to share them with you today as we talk about being a walking revival. And he said this. He was sharing this with a high school when he was talking about your blueprints for life. And this story was well before the I Have a Dream speech. But it's one of my favorites from him, one of my favorite sermons from him. And he says this, and when you discover what you will be in your life, set out to do it as if God Almighty called you at this particular moment in history to do it. Don't just set out to do a good job. Set out to do such a good job that the living, the dead, or the unborn couldn't do it any better. Think about that. Did you know God created you for this time? You and only you, uniquely you, that no one else in the world could do what he created you to do. The way that he created you to shine, no one else can shine like you. Dr. King saying it that way. Do it. Do your job so well wherever you are. If you're a front cashier, do it so well wherever you are. No one has seen that before. Nobody has ever heard anybody answer the phone like that. Nobody has ever seen anyone fix a car like that. And he says, if it falls your lot, it's my favorite part, to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine at the top of the hill, be a shrub in the valley, the best little shrub on the side of the hill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be a sun, be a star, for it isn't by the size that you win or fall. Be the best wherever you are. That's how you shine. You think you're just a street sweeper, but you're so much more. John F. Kennedy shared a story one time about going to NASA, and he met a custodian in the halls. And he asked him what he did there, and he said, I'm putting a man on the moon. And he said, but you're a custodian here. He said, yeah, but the work I do is helping man get to the moon. You see, that custodian understood how to shine. He could have said, I just have a mop and a broom, and I'm not doing anything important. But he understood the role and the part he played to getting us to the moon. Did you know that all of us have a role and a part to play to get the gospel to the world? The hope, the only antidote. This world is searching, is dying, is doing everything it can to find it. And guys, we have the antidote. But we're so afraid to share it sometimes, aren't we? Because we're worried about what people think. And I just want to say, shine. What if we said every day that I'm going to reach somebody today? What if we left today living like God had a plan for our lives? Like we had a responsibility to shine no matter what? I'm not talking about how bright your light is. I'm just asking you, are you hiding it under a bushel or are you shining it? And that doesn't mean you beat people over the head with condemnation. That doesn't mean you beat people over the head with shame. No, 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 no. You just show them who Jesus is by how you love them. And you say, well, this is awesome. I'm glad that you can tell me that, Tyler, but I'm perfect. I've got it all together. Awesome. I'm glad you're here, Jesus. So that being said, what I want to ask you is I want to give you two things and two ways that you can not only live out a life shining, but that you can literally be a walking revival this week, all right? So here we go. Two ways. We got to pick up one of my favorite stories found in Luke. I think every story is my favorite story in the Bible, right? It just is what it is. That's just how I roll. So if you got your Bible, we're going to be in Luke. We're going to pick up this verse, Luke chapter 8, verse 42. And it says this. It's midway through the verse. So if yours starts a little different, just hang in here with me. We're picking up midway through the verse. It says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. Anybody have that in their life? Has anybody got a friend in their life that's had something that they've been subject to for a long time, but nobody's been able to heal? She came up behind him and touched him with the edge of his cloak. And immediately, the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed. If you've got your Bible, if you're taking notes, circle that, unnoticed. She couldn't go unnoticed. Whenever Jesus is in your life and wherever Jesus is around, people don't go unnoticed. That's what I love about the God we serve. She came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Because once you've had an encounter with Jesus, you can't be the same. She couldn't help but share it. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." So today, if you really want to shine, number one, walk with eyes open. Walk with eyes open. We talk about this a lot. I know we just shared it a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the man who was lame, and Peter and John walking up and him walking. But we can't share it enough. Walk with eyes open. Jesus walked with his eyes open. He wasn't afraid. Like, have you ever just been in your life like you've been rushed but not ready? Like, you've been rushed all day but not ready. I'll say it this way. How many of us have ever overslept? That whole day, do you feel like you're ready for anything? You feel rushed. So how much do you miss in that rush? Because I'm the walking, talking, have to be everywhere. If you know anything about me, like, I'm always on the move. Can't tell it. We're working on it. But I'm always on the move. Like, you see me running around everywhere. But so many times, what Jesus has just been pressing in on me more than ever is, Tyler, walk with your eyes open if you want to shine me to the world. Because when you run around rushed because you're not ready, you miss out. You see, the disciples, they were rushed. They weren't ready for this. All they saw is that a crowd rushed them, and they weren't ready for all of them to be there, but Jesus had his eyes open, and this woman came and touched his cloak, and all of a sudden she was healed. So I wonder how many times Jesus would let us be a part of stories and lives being eternally transformed because we seriously had our eyes open. Because see, here's the thing. He's doing more behind the scenes than we could ever really know. One question I've been challenging myself with, I wrote down and said, am I awake to all that God has me being a part of? Or am I just going through the motions? Because when I'm rushed and not ready, I'm there, but I'm not present. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're rushed and not ready, like, you're at work, but you're probably not present at work. Like, you hear the background chatter and know something's going on, but you're not really engaged in the conversation. You're just present. And so if we really want to shine our light, we want to be a difference in the world. And one of the ways that Jesus works on me to be a difference in the world is I got to walk with my eyes open if I want to shine. Like, I've got to be present. I've got to be in the moment. And a lot of times that just happens with eye contact, right? Seriously, eye contact. Walk with eyes open. You got to have eye contact. When you have eye contact, a lot of times that changes things. Some people are intimidated by it. But it shouldn't be. You got to walk with your eyes open, because if you don't walk with your eyes open, you'll get so caught up in the crowd that you'll miss the miracle of this woman who just got set free from something that no one else could heal but Jesus. He sets us up in situations like that. And so as your pastor, where I'm at is, as I just started thinking, like, if I'm really walking with my eyes open, that means what's happening on Sunday means that Monday is a lot different for me. Because if I come in on Sunday and I praise my face off and I could talk about how great Jesus is, but Monday comes and nothing's changed in my heart, then I'm doing it wrong. I didn't switch gears. See, Monday through Saturday is a buildup, and Sunday is an overflow of what happens Monday through Saturday and an anticipation of what's about to happen the next Monday through Saturday. So many times in our life, if we're really trying to change with our eyes open, maybe I would ask your question is your Monday look any different than it does today? Does last Monday look the same as it did this Monday? Are you still dreading it just as much as you did before? Because with Jesus, you'll see that there's an opportunity there for you to shine. He's placed you in that place for a purpose. Because he didn't call us just to be a part of a moment. He's called us to be a part of a movement. So some questions I ask myself if I want to have eyes wide open today is this. I've just been asking Jesus because I always know I need help. I ain't perfect. I need so much help with this. So I ask Jesus, how can my eyes be open? I say, who can I serve today? When I pray in the morning, I say, Jesus, who can I serve today? Who can I love better today, Lord? Who can I serve? Who can I love better? Hey, God, how do you plan to use me today? How can you use me today? It's a lot easier for me to pray for the things I want in my life dear God, this lottery ticket I bought, just let it work out. Like, you know, this, dear God, that person, I pray they would like me. Dear God, I pray that this could happen. I pray that that would happen. But how he shifted my perspective and how he's changed me to walk with eyes open is he says, I get up in the morning and I'm just like, Jesus, I've got all these plans and I've got all these great ideas, but they're nothing without you. Who can I serve today? Who can I love better today? And how can you use me? So I'm going to be real with you. You know what got me in the mood for that? Chick-fil-A. I know they're closed today, so you're going to be angry. If you're listening to this on a Monday, you're welcome. Chick-fil-A. What's the first question they ask you? How can I serve you? Don't it just feel great? Like, it's like they woke up ready to serve you that day. Like, how can I serve you? Like, it's grilled chicken, and I get all the things on it, but I feel great. It's healthy because it's grilled chicken, right? Like, I ordered the hash browns. I ordered the extra on top of it. Like, I even got a milkshake for breakfast somehow, right? Like, I got one of the little spin. Like, I got something, right? Like, the peach milkshake on top just is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that being saying, it's where I was, but I feel like those folks woke up that morning, and the culture they've created says, how can I serve you today? What if we shined the light of Jesus to the world to say, how can I serve you today? And you say, well, that doesn't mean anything. Like, I can't do anything crazy. What do you mean? Like, how can I serve you today? Well, I just want to ask you, if you really want to know how to serve someone today, open the door for everyone who's behind you this week. Just try it. Everybody who's behind you, open the door. And don't worry, they'll have that awkward jog. You know, you got to have that awkward jog. Like when you're halfway across the parking lot and you see this person holding the door open for you, they'll come. They'll talk to you. You have that awkward jog all the way. And isn't that awkward because you're out of breath and you can't. Anyway, I'm working on it, y'all. So that being said, open the door for somebody. And literally, I've told you what Jesus has been trying to teach me is, hey, you serving that person, you loving them right where they are. If you open the door for them, you're literally opening the door to the gospel in their life. If you'll just trust me, you can shine my light to them right there. So if you want to walk with eyes open, will you do that? Because I started thinking about everything that's happening today in this big game. We're a highlight reel culture, aren't we? Man, we want the top 10. We care about SportsCenter top 10 when it comes to sports more than we care about the game. We're so disengaged with the story. All we care about is we want to hear the highlight reels, the elevator speech. Nothing wrong with the elevator speech, but that's all we want. It's the impression and the elevator speech. And I want to tell you, Jesus has done more through my brokenness and the tough times I've shared than he ever did the highlights that I shared. And so many times in our life, because we're a highlight culture, we miss out on the beauty of the story of each and every one of us because we're not willing to share where we're broken. We're not willing to share where we're beat down. We're not willing to share where we're beat up. But I guarantee you, I'll be willing to share it with somebody who's willing to open a door for me than I ever would somebody who's slamming it shut, telling me what the church doesn't accept and what the church won't have. So today, if you want to shine like Jesus, I'm just going to ask you to walk with eyes open. You know, I started writing this down. I started thinking of some of the heroes of the faith we have and how we don't share tough times is when I look through the Bible, I just see so many tough times people walk through. Right? Like, there was no, like, it wasn't just like everything was perfect all the way through. Even our Lord and Savior, it wasn't perfect. He was murdered on a bloodstained cross. Let's be real. Like, it wasn't a perfect life. But we don't like to share that. We're so afraid to share that brokenness. And so I started thinking of some of the heroes of the faith, like Billy Graham. I think that we celebrate him so many times. And I just want to tell you, because we're a highlight culture, what we have is the tendency to want things instantly instead of letting the process play out. And I want to tell you, Billy Graham will tell you, he always asked God, why did God use him? But it didn't happen overnight for him. He had to go through the monotony of day in, day out, letting his light shine, letting Jesus work through him, and the rest happened. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it easier. Billy Graham and everyone else that I look in the Bible from cover to cover understood. It's just my job to walk with eyes open by being obedient to what he's called me to do. God will bring the outcome. It's all up to him what the outcome is. But Lord have mercy, do I want to control that outcome, don't I? Like, man, oh man. And when I do that, I'm not walking with eyes open, and I'm missing out. So what if today, I just want to ask you, if you want to walk with eyes open, what if today you stayed in the fight just a little longer? What if today you prayed just a little bit longer for that person? What if you stayed in the fight to be obedient just a little bit longer? Like, you're at the point of giving up. Will you just hang in there a little bit longer? I promise you, it'll get better. I can't promise you how, I can't promise you where, but if you hang in a little bit longer with your eyes focused on Jesus and his goodness, the world can't help but see him through you, and he'll shine through the cracks that is your brokenness. All you got to do is be willing to share it. And sometimes it's simply by high-fiving somebody on a Sunday morning to say, I don't got it together. I got to get hyped this morning. I got to figure this out. Or sometimes it's just by smiling at that cashier that's been yelled at all day at the grocery store, that's about to go home. It's about to go home and probably deal with the facts of whatever situation they're living in. And nobody smiles at her ever or him ever, but you walk up with a smile on your face. And they say, you're buying all this food. What's going on? I'm hungry. I'm just kidding. You don't say that. You say, hey, I've got this thing happening at my house on Thursday night. We have people get together. So the reason I'm here every day at the same time, the times that I come every week, is because we buy this. And so I get to invest in that person. I get to open the door of the gospel to that person. All because I smiled. If you think God can't shine through you, smile at somebody, open the door for him, and see what he'll make happen. Second thing that you can do, walk with urgency. So if you really want to shine your light, you understand, number one, obviously, that what you do is not who you are. It's who Jesus is to you. And as you're going through, you understand that you're a walking revival, and how you walk with eyes open and you walk with urgency is so many times in my life. Listen, I'm not talking about the highlight reel when I say walk with urgency. I'm not talking about being rushed walking with urgency. I'm saying that Jesus knew that he had 3 years on this earth for his earthly ministry to put all that he could into 12 men that followed him and did life with him step by step all the way through every season. And the thing that he invested in those 3 years is a thing that we're a part of today, because he understood the difference he made. He walked with urgency. And so many times in my life, I wonder if we just would not be afraid to get moving. Do we understand that our time on this earth is finite? Like, when I come across someone and I open the door for them, it might be the only time I ever meet this person on this side of eternity. What if I just loved them right where they are and operated with urgency instead of saying, I'm in a freaking hurry, I gotta go. Did you see where I had to park? It's raining like crazy. What if I just opened that door and said, hey, it's raining out there? You know, all of a sudden I have an opportunity to have that. So I have to walk with urgency. And this is the reason. We gotta have anticipation. When I look at the early church, like each and every one of those, guys, we live in such a free, we have so many great things in our country that we take for granted. Like, the early church, every one of them were persecuted and martyred for their faith. Killed. Peter upside down. James beheaded. We don't have to worry about that. Like, we're not part of the French Revolution. We don't have a guillotine. We don't have any of that crazy stuff. Like, we have freedom, but yet we don't want to operate with urgency, and we'll say, I'll get to it tomorrow. When does tomorrow ever come? It never works out when we say that, right? And so I wonder if we would walk with some urgency, because so many times, I just want you to know, the world is operating with urgency, trying to fill the void that only Jesus can. And so I wonder if we operated with urgency in shining the light that he's given us to shine through our brokenness, through our cracks, through where we don't have it all together, and say, hey, I don't know what's going on in your life, and I don't even know how to really help you, except to say, I'm going to be with you step by step through this, and whatever you walk through, I'm going to walk through with you, and we're going to walk through this together. What do you say? And through that, see that there's something better. I can shine the light of Jesus to others. I wonder if we would walk with that urgency. Because the world, in being broken and sick, understands, if this thing don't fill me, I'm just going to go on to this next thing. And if this thing don't fill me, I'm going to go on to this next thing. And we hold the thing that can fill them, and that's only Jesus. And so today, I just wonder if we would trust that. I wonder if today we would take someday and almost out of our vocabulary. Would you be willing to do that? Take someday and almost out of your vocabulary, because that's how you walk with urgency. You see, the reason I say that is I look at the life of Jesus, and he didn't almost die on the cross for our sins. He didn't say, someday I'll rise again. No. He gave it all. He went to the cross. He bore all of our sins on the cross, and he was willing to say, hey, I will rise on the third day. It wasn't almost and someday. So what if our someday to let his light shine through us became today, and what if our almost became all in? Like, what if all of a sudden we were ready to go and understood that God made us for a purpose, with a purpose, on purpose, for the mission to love God and love others and shine to everyone he puts in our path, even if we don't want to? And that's the hardest one, is even when we don't want to. So today, will we trust that? Because it's really easy in our culture, once again, to have those commas/PhD and D-U-M-B right here. But it's so easy to have the labels and you think, well, the pastor's got it all together. I'm just as broken as you. I don't have it all together. You say, well, the pastor can share the hope of the gospel. The pastor can do that. There's not enough pastors in the world. But what I love about our church is we understand it's not about the platform. It's not about the microphone. It's about each part of the body coming together on a mission for the purpose of loving God and loving others. So the thing is, will we continue to do that? Will we continue to live in that? Because here's the thing that I want to tell you as we get ready for this brand new series called The Vow. We know somebody in every one of those relationship statuses. Every week these chairs are prayed over throughout the week and on Sunday, and every week there's an opportunity for us to get someone here who needs to hear the hope of the gospel, who needs to hear, hey, your marriage may be broken, but you're not going to find wholeness in each other in your marriage. It's going to be Jesus being the third strand that cannot be broken. That's going to bring you together. Hey, whatever you're walking through, that restoration in your past, that thing you struggled with in your past, you're not defined by it. As a matter of fact, you have a future, and God has something great planned for you, and the way that you see it is how you see Jesus in your life and who he is to you. My question is, who are we bringing to the vow? Because if we want to show what team we represent, you may know that I'm Florida State, but you should know that who Jesus is in my life. And you should know what he's done in my life. He literally power washed my soul. He completely changed me. Like, I was dead. I was a zombie walking around until he came in my life and made me whole, made me new, gave me purpose, showed me what it was to have hope when there was no hope. Him and him alone. And the world is searching for that. There are marriages out there right now that are on the brink. And they're searching for something. And Jesus is the answer. And today, I'm willing to believe as we go out through this week and we're ready to shine and show people who Jesus is, he's going to place people in our path that need to hear the hope of the gospel. And so, today, the reason I'm hammering hard about the vow and the reason I'm telling you as your pastor, I don't want you to miss the point. God's blessed us tremendously. We are a blessed church. I'm so thankful. He is blessing our obedience, and we get to be a part of something amazing. But I don't want us to miss the point. Because I know that when I open the door for someone, it makes a difference. But when I slam the door on them, you know, I started thinking, I'll get it out in a minute. I started thinking, I would hate to be on the other side of eternity and someone give a deathbed confession that Jesus is Lord, and I had the opportunity to show it to them every day. And they say, I wish you would have told me earlier. I could have missed out on all of this. I missed out on this life that God created me to be a part of. And all I had to do was open the door. But instead, they didn't get to be all he made them to be. Because they never saw who Jesus was in me. And so, church, I don't want you to miss the point. He created you to be a light to the world, to penetrate the darkness. He's already defeated everything this world will throw at anyone. All we got to do is shine his light, even in our brokenness. Will we trust with urgency somebody would say, man, I wish you would have told me about this sooner. I wish you would have told me about this Jesus sooner. Hey, I knew you loved Florida State, Tyler. I knew you were a Seahawks fan. I knew you're all about the Jeep. It is what it is. Like, I knew that you had these things. I knew that you were a realtor. But man, I didn't. Who is this Jesus? I wish I would have known sooner. I wish you would have told me about him sooner. We got to walk with urgency, y'all. Because here's the thing. When we have Jesus at the center of our life right now, we understand that everything matters. And here's what I want to tell you why you know everything matters when you walk with urgency. Did you know that that high five you gave to someone is the only confirmation some people will get on Sunday morning throughout this entire week? When you encourage someone, and you give them a fist bump and say, I'm here with you on Sunday. The reason I do that, I'm putting all my cards on the table. The reason I do that is that's the only time some people will get a fist bump all week. When you go into Vine Kids and that mother is dropping off that child and you smile at her and you let her know that she has been noticed and she has been seen and she is doing a great job at raising her kids the best way she can because we're going to teach them Jesus on their level and you smile at her, did you know that might be the only time she gets a smile all week? And it might be the only time that she gets noticed because she's having to do everything else. Did you know at the end of the service, the reason that we put our arms around each other and we pray as a family is that might be the only hug that some people get all week. What you do makes a difference. How you shine makes a difference. So don't think that you have to have a title. Don't think that you have to look a certain way, be a certain way, talk a certain way, have to have a microphone, have to have a voice. Understand that God created you to shine right where you are, and he's going to open up opportunities for you to do that this week. And I would challenge you and encourage you, get someone here to the vow. Because if you know what Jesus has done in your life, imagine what he can do in the lives of others. He's going to set them free. So today, if you have Jesus at the center of your life, I really just want you to be encouraged to know that you're the walking revival. I don't want you to walk around rushed, not ready. Have your eyes open, but have an urgency to know that this may be the divine appointment that Jesus had for me, just like this woman did. 12 years before when she started bleeding, she didn't know who Jesus was. As a matter of fact, the only people that probably knew who Jesus was the few people that he taught in the temple as a child and the shepherds that were in the field outside of the parents and the wise men. The world didn't know who Jesus was at the time. Yet 12 years later, all of a sudden this crowd is pressing in and there's a divine appointment where she has an encounter with Jesus. Did you know that Jesus living in you is the encounter that he set up for them to be in contact with you the way you shine? So will you shine and be that this week? And for others, as we come to the close of this, I just want to tell you, maybe none of this makes sense. Maybe you're chasing this and you're trying to think, man, this is crazy. This guy's talking about Jesus. He's wearing a football jersey. He's talking about this guy named Jesus. And I'm telling you, I'm okay where I'm at chasing this thing of this earth. I'm okay where I'm at chasing this habit, this thing that doesn't seem to feel. And I'm pretty sure I'm okay, but, you know, I'll come hang out with you sometime. I just want to say and tell you the reason we do what we do every week is to show you who Jesus is. And the thing that's missing in your life more than anything is Jesus. It's not a relationship. It's not a person. It's not a car. It's not a career. It's not money. It's not you trying to light your own light. Because the thing about all of us that have Jesus in our life is the only way we can shine is because he is in our life. It's not because of anything we've done. All that we've done is received him as our Lord and Savior and confessed him Lord of our life. That's it. We don't have it together. We're just as broken as everyone else. Just as broken as before, but through him we have hope and he has made us whole. Not anything we've done, not because we come to Sunday school or we go to RAs or because we give so much or because we have every Bible verse memorized and we know the highest downloaded podcast online and the highest religious leader online and the best songs online. It has nothing to do with that. We shine because of who Jesus is to us. So right now, wherever you are, I've been telling us as Christians in this house what our primary job is through obedience, shine, and he'll bring the outcome. And if you're watching online, let me tell you what Jesus is. Let me tell you who Jesus is to you. The verse you're going to see, I guarantee you're going to see it on a poster today at the big game. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." But this is why Jesus came. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The difference between someone who is a Christian and who is not a Christian is simply receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, understanding that we don't have it all together, that it's only through him that we have hope, we have purpose, we have peace. Nothing else. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. There's nothing that we could ever do to be at one with God because all of us were born sinners. All of us, because of that sin, are deserving death. And because of that death, God said, I want to make a way for you to have a relationship with me. So he sent his son down to live the life we couldn't live, died the death we deserve on the cross, and loved us enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that we could experience heaven on earth. And I don't know where you are on your walk, but if I'm just going to be real with you. If you get tired of hearing the gospel every week, I'm going to tell you to check your heart because I guarantee you, you're not shining the way that God's called you to. Because right now, Jesus is calling people, whether you're watching online or in this house, he's calling people home right now and saying, I'm all you need. He didn't come to condemn you for the sin that you've done. He's not here to beat you down. He's actually here to give you salvation, to set you free. And that only comes from confessing him as Lord of your life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, as we get ready to close this out today, as we talk about Christians shining, as we talk about you, I just want to ask you, who is Jesus to you? Is he your Lord and Savior? Because you can't shine without him. You can sing all the songs, know all the lyrics, know all the Bible verses. Man, you can do everything you want to, but without him, you can't truly shine. Matter of fact, you're not even lit. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if today is your day to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, we're going to say a prayer as a family because we want you to know that you aren't alone, but we're doing it for the benefit of those that are coming to the faith for the first time. And we're just going to say this out loud. I'm just going to ask everyone to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if that's you and if it's for the first time you can say that you have ever confessed Jesus as Lord of your life, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to respond. If you're watching online, you can respond. If whatever you're doing, you can shoot us a message. You're going to see a hand come up in a minute. You can respond by raising your hand. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask everyone if it's the first time you've ever confessed Jesus as Lord to raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you and you're watching online or you're in the house, we have people who want to walk with you in this journey step by step. We want to have a way to connect with you. We want to get resources in your hand, but more importantly, we want you to know that you're not walking this alone. We want you to know that we're here with you through whatever season you walk through. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you, please respond. Please message us. You can shoot us an email at hello@thevine.tv. You can give us a phone call at 864-580-6698. We would love to chat with you. We would love to talk with you. But more importantly, we would love to celebrate with you because we know that Jesus is our living hope, that we have nothing apart from him. So if you'll stand up for the last song, I'm going to pray for us. And I'm just going to ask that we shine in this moment. And I'm going to come back out, and we're going to pray again. And I'm even going to tell you what I'm going to pray for. Every person Jesus puts in our path this week, that we shine his light on them, and we get them to be a part of this series coming up. Whether they watch it online or in this house matters not, as long as we shine and be a part of that. So as we get ready for worship here and we get ready to worship this last song, I'm going to pray for us. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we get to have you in our life as our living hope. Jesus, we are nothing without you. And the thing is, so many times we think that we have to do all this work and we have to do all these things. And Jesus, you just tell us to shift gears and trust you. So Jesus, whoever's on that mountain bike right now, I know sometimes I'm there more than I want to admit. God, I pray that we would get off the bike and switch gears. And we would continue to move forward as you've called us to. Dear Lord, we don't deserve any of this. But Jesus, because you've given us a light, we get to shine it to the world. As a matter of fact, this dying world that's searching for you, Jesus, we have the answer to the hope, and that's you. So give us boldness to share it. Because Jesus, those that have gone before us had the boldness to share it with us. So I pray that right now you would just allow us to be able to do that. And in this moment, as we get ready for praise, Jesus, if we need to talk to somebody today because we think something's in the way of us sharing you with the world, don't let it pass by without us talking because, Jesus, we're here as a body together to shine your gospel to the world. We love you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin. cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah.
Thing, but I believe we can shine, y'all. I believe Jesus made you to shine. I believe Jesus made me to shine. I believe He made us all to shine. So today, let's shine. Let's shine. Everything we do. I want to open the door for somebody this week. You might be blown away what Jesus does with that. As a matter of fact, I shared where my heart was breaking for where I wish somebody said, hey, I wish you would have told me about Jesus sooner. What if you opening that door, they say, hey, you know, I met Jesus because you smiled and opened that door for me. How crazy is that? That divine appointment Jesus allows us to be a part of. And you know what other divine appointment He may allow us to be a part of? Hey, I don't know where you are in your relationship status, but I'd love for you to come hang out with me, eat some breakfast, some good breakfast, and hang out with some people that I love. You might see Him do something incredible there. Whenever you hear that abortion debate going on in your workplace, you don't need to stand up and shout. Put your arm around somebody and let them know you love them. Just let them know you love them. You don't know what they're carrying in it. Let them know you love them. I'm thankful that I wasn't aborted and that I was given a chance to live. But the thing is, after I was given the chance to live, it was the church that loved me and helped me be all Jesus created me to be. Outside of my family at home, my church is what made me who I get to be today because of Jesus shining in them. And I'm thankful that you're willing to shine. So as we get ready to pray, if you want to put your arm around someone today, let's do that. Like I said, this might be the only hug they get. They don't care if you got deodorant on. Don't worry about it. It might be a stanky hug, but it'll be a hug. Jesus loves all of that. So with every head bowed, Jesus, thank you for this day. I know sometimes we can take things differently, but here's the thing that we can't take differently, and that's you. You came to give us hope. You came to give us life. You came to allow us to shine to the world. You said that salt loses its saltiness after a while, so sometimes when we be salty, Lord, let us just be light. Let us be light to everyone we see. Let us show the brokenness in us, because it's only through that brokenness that people can even see that we have been healed. We have been restored, that through you we have hope. So Jesus, as we go out into this world, there has never been a time in the world where over 3/4 of the earth do not know who you are. We get to live in a time such as this. So Jesus, as we shine you to the world, I pray that you would allow us to be a part of stories we never even fathomed we would get to be a part of, and that others would see you more clearly, others would take next steps, Jesus, because of you and us. And Jesus, I pray that we would grow through it, that we would be all you created us to be, because God, outside of that, all we're doing is spinning wheels on that mountain bike. So Jesus, today, every person you place in our path, I pray that we would walk with eyes open, that we would walk with urgency, that we wouldn't make an excuse to say we're not enough, that we would understand we are a walking revival because of who you are to us. Jesus, I'm thankful for this family. I'm thankful for what you've called us to. I'm thankful for the things that you allow us to be a part of in fulfilling your plan to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Bring us back safely next week as you see fit. Let us enjoy this big game we have together today and make some awesome memories. And Jesus, we kick off this series called The Vow. We pray in advance for marriages to be restored, for addicts to be set free, for the broken to find hope, and for the hopeless to find hope, and for the homeless to find a home, and for the loveless to see love for the first time, because we are letting you shine through us. It's in your wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week. Alex Hamby will be bringing the word as we talk about the vow of priority. We'll see you then.